You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stacked show per huge for everybody this fine hump day afternoon. We've got one of my favorite guests to kick us off. I'll introduce him in just a moment. At the bottom of this half hour, I've got questions for you because we are in the midst of quite the showdown over the state's biennial budget. Here are my questions for you, and I want to hear from you at the bottom of this hour. And that is, are you currently looking for childcare? If you've got it, how much are you paying for it? Are you worried about its continued affordability? Why? Because we've got quite the deadline looming. In just 5 days, the subsidies, the supports for the program known as child care counts runs out. Child care will get more scarce and more expensive for all working families across Wisconsin. We may even be facing child care deserts in some rural areas. So I want to hear from you. Again, are you and your family trying to find child care? If you've got it, how much are you paying for it? Are you worried about it? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. At the top of the 5 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway for today's installment of Broad Appeal. And boy, do I have some questions about all the things going on in Madison. Yes, this one goes out to the WMDX listeners and everyone, of course, across the state. Mayor Rhodes Conway is joining me at the bottom of this hour. So at 4:30, at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by two child care providers. It's this important. We got to talk to all the folks that have something to say about child care. And last but certainly not least, we will be joined by Marquette pollster extraordinaire, Professor Charles Franklin. The new Marquette poll dropped today. And boy, is it fascinating, including about whether or not Governor Tony Evers should run again. And we're going to close the show out by asking you that very question. Should the governor run again? Lots of opportunities for you to get involved this afternoon. But let me bring on one of my favorite guests. He tries to join me at least once every week. His name's Dan Schaefer, creator of the Recombobulation Area and political editor here at Civic Media. He's here for the State Slate. Welcome back, Dan. Nice to have you.
Thanks so much for having me, Maggie. Always wonderful to join you here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Network. Lots to talk about. Yes. Lots to talk about.
So let's start with the fact that, I'm just going to say it, there is absolutely no freaking way, like snowball's chance in hell, that the budget is wrapped up, our biennial budget here in the state of Wisconsin, by the end of June deadline. It ain't happening. So if we don't have a new budget, what happens then?
Well, you're right. We are up against the end of the fiscal year here. Republicans are not going to hit their deadline to pass a budget in time. We've heard about how talks have broken down, how they've been kind of siloed. We can get into the kind of the differences between what the Assembly and Senate Republicans are looking for at the moment. But all that would happen really is that the previous two-year budget would essentially carry over until a new one is passed. So the budget that was passed 2 years ago that Tony Evers had a line item veto for to clean up certain things about it, extend education funding, whatever it might be, we would just kind of go back to those base levels. So any cuts that Republicans have talked about, you know, the cuts to the UW system and you know, many other issues, those would not go into effect until something is actually signed. So we just go back to those base levels of funding. You know, you mentioned childcare at the open of the show and how you're going to be talking about that today. That's been one of the big issues in the budget. The governor's really kind of drawn a line in the sand on that issue, saying that if this budget does not include funding for childcare, he's not going to sign it. You know, he can make changes with his line item veto. He can't make something appear out of zero. So that's part of the challenge there as well.
Hard to line item a zero into a nothing into something. That certainly would not work, which brings me to this question about the governor taking this stand. I have a lot of respect for Governor Evers. I have not personally seen him to play what I'm going to call real bare-knuckled politics, sort of the brinksmanship politics. Probably the closest analogy that we hit was whether or not he was going to sign the maps, right? We had this moment where it was like, are they good enough? Is the governor going to sign them? And he did. He didn't sort of push the envelope there. So I'm curious about your view of Governor Evers' appetite for that kind of who blinks first politics. What do you think?
That's a great question. I think, you know, obviously he's saying that he wants some level of childcare funding to be in the budget. Well, what does he need that for that to be? Because the proposal he's putting forward is you know, north of $400 million. Republicans have so far come to the table with nothing. I don't even know what they're coming to the table with. But I think you're right. I think, and we ran a piece about this at the Recombobulation Area today from contributing writer and chair of Outagamie County Democrats, Emily Cephos. And she wrote this, and I'll just quote directly from the piece. The governor still holds powerful tools, the veto pen, the bully pulpit, and the trust of many Wisconsinites. But those tools only work if they're wielded boldly and visibly. I think that is what Evers needs to do next. Be clear about what you need in this budget. You know, he's talked about K-12 education funding. He's talked about funding for the UW system, talked about funding for childcare. You know, there are still many of his priorities that have been unrealized, things like expanding Medicaid and taking a number of steps when it comes to healthcare, extending postpartum Medicaid coverage for new moms. But I think we need to see something from Evers here as we get close to that June 30th budget deadline to really get out in front of this. You know, where should he be making a statewide tour? Should he be delivering some sort of address? I think he needs to use that bully pulpit to really rally support among these issues, because as we saw, you know, in some of the issue polling in the Marquette University Law School poll today, a lot of Wisconsinites are on his side on the issues. So at what point does the governor draw a line in the sand and say, if you're going to cut UW, I'm vetoing the whole budget. If you're not doing this, I'm vetoing the whole budget. And I think the governor needs to work with allies in the Democratic Party, in the legislature as well, to try to get some of these priorities over the finish line in this budget.
And here's the thing that occurs to me that is a little bit in the weeds, a little bit wonky about our current biennial budget. And that is, if some funding provisions aren't permanent, or if the funding is running out, are there potential pitfalls that we would experience if the governor vetoes a second version, right? I think there's been a lot of chatter amongst Dems that, oh, this is great, have him veto it. With the current budget is far better than what we could ever get in a new budget. And I think that principle, it certainly sounds good. It is a pithy hot take. But is that really the case? Because, you know, the action is always in the details. And do we know, you know, as an economist, I'm always thinking about, you know, the law of unintended consequences. Do we know the full ramifications of such a veto? Do you think people are in the weeds enough? Do we know, you know, hey, if we just stick with what we've got, we're going to be fine? Or are there some hidden traps there?
I think this is why the public piece of this is so important. I think Evers needs to get out there and make the case and be clear about what he wants out of this budget, because it's also becoming more and more clear that there are some key differences between where Assembly Republicans are on this bill. Robin Voss and his caucus, they have actually kind of come to the table and met with Evers on a number of different things. Whereas in the Senate, which has a much smaller Republican majority, they can't really afford to lose. They can't afford to lose two votes in order to be able to pass this budget with only Republican votes. So do they need to start negotiating with Democrats to get a vote on their side? Do they need to make changes to get, you know, the round out that support in their caucus? You know, there was a statement yesterday from probably one of the most far right members of the caucus, State Senator Steve Nass from Whitewater, saying he wanted basically the entire budget to be given away as a tax cut and for massive cuts to be taken at pretty much every level of government. So there's one vote that you are not going to get get
right
on this budget really at all. And so are they going to try to play ball with some of the Senate Democrats there as well? I mean, I think there's a real risk if you look ahead to next year, if Senate Republicans refuse to pass a budget. I mean, they could lose the Senate. There's three districts that Kamala Harris won that will be on the ballot next year. Republicans could absolutely lose the Senate with their actions that they're taking over the next 5 days.
Folks, that's Dan Schaefer, creator of the Recombobulationary and political editor here. That's, to me, Dan, that's where the action is truly. Like, hey, if we know that the governor has negotiated with the Assembly Republicans to get us to a point that is better than our current budget as a baseline, right? If he's actually moved the mark, then yeah, it's not, oh yeah, just have him veto it. No. If we would be better off where the governor's gotten those negotiations, the real question then turns to Senate Dems about, yes, do they understand that? And I completely agree with you, Dan, that we need the governor out there. And I'll say this, the eerie similarities between what we're seeing in the state of Wisconsin and what's going on Capitol Hill have no end, right? Like the division between the House and the Senate in the Beltway is very similar to what's going on here, including some senators wanting even more draconian cuts that would fall really heavily, have very acute impacts on the Republicans' base. I think Tony Evers should be out there basically campaigning about the budget, be everywhere all the time talking about the top line two, three, four things that you need more compromise from Republicans in the state on and put their feet to the fire. Dan, your thoughts on that? I just think this is a big issue. Tie it to the big brutal bill. Talk about the fact that Republicans aren't planning for that impact, right? Talk about rural Wisconsin. Talk about those red counties and make the affirmative case. Your thoughts?
I couldn't agree more. And I think Evers needs to, there has to be a public process to have this debate. And I think, you know, it's one thing for Evers and his team to, you know, organize these childcare visits as they have been doing
right
across the state. But I still think they're kind of playing catch up to what some of these organizing groups and other legislators have done on this issue for years. You know, we've had Corinne Hendrickson on the airwaves here in Syracuse a number of times, including on your show.
Yep.
There you go. And she and her group, WeCan, have really been sounding the alarm on this for a long time. I think there needs to be more than just a couple visits to childcare centers around the state from Governor Evers. There has to be another level to this.
I mean, everyday interviews go to the conservative outlets. Dan, can you stick around for another segment? I want to dig into that childcare piece with this looming deadline. The state slate continues. We talk childcare. Is your family looking for childcare? How much is it costing you? 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. And welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. Happy Wednesday afternoon. It's hump day. More than midway through the week, thank goodness. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My good friend Dan Schaefer is sticking around. He is the creator and author of The Recombobulation Area and our political editor here at Civic Media. We are talking about the governor. If you want to weigh in on whether or not Tony Evers should run again, Diane on the text line saying, absolutely, he's done so much and he's been doing more than anybody expected. You got an opinion, we want to hear it. 855-752-4842. Because, of course, that Marquette poll that dropped today asked that very question. We're going to discuss that at 5:30 with pollster Charles Franklin. But, Dan, let's get back to this idea of the campaign. And I don't mean it in an electoral sense. I mean in a communication sense. I haven't felt like Evers is going as hard as he should on this budget. I mean, I'd be going on ISN and TMJ and every single outlet, especially where moderates and conservatives talk about this stuff and fearlessly confronting the fact that Republicans in the state aren't getting it done for working families. Should he be doing more?
I absolutely do. And I think he needs to be, you know, we're at a critical moment here for the budget and for his second term and his legacy as a governor in the state of Wisconsin. Like, he has signed three Republican authored budgets in his two terms as governor. Is that going to be different now that we have smaller margins in the legislature, now that there is a real chance for Democrats to take the Senate next year?
Right.
And I think there are a number of issues, and you've highlighted a number of them, that have public opinion on their side. And I think childcare is one of them. I think K-12 education is one of them. And I think, Medicaid expansion. So, like, when I was at the, at the WISDEMS convention in Wisconsin Dells a week and a half ago, there were folks from Citizen Action of Wisconsin, a number of other groups that had stickers on their shirts throughout the weekend saying, veto the budget, Governor Evers, if it doesn't include, blank priority as a number of those that we've talked about. So I think it's not just the governor. I think he needs to be working with legislative leadership for Democrats as well, to really get out there and make the case, because Republicans are in disarray at this moment. Assembly and Senate are on different pages. They can't get their leadership in order. And I think that's an opportunity for Democrats to really make a difference for people right now in this state budget.
It's also how to distinguish and create the space to sign the budget, right? Like, if you don't give a target or a goal of hey, if I get movement here, then that's a green light. If you're not making the case that, hey, we're at a place in negotiations that's better than our current budget, and here's the additional things that we need to make it very positive for working families, and effectively trying to own it yourself as a political matter, it's a loss. Because I think the concern I have is, no matter which way this turns out, if you haven't framed the debate over this budget effectively, Governor Evers, it's not, you can't claim a win if you haven't owned the debate parameters, if you get what I'm saying. So regardless of his electoral wishes, or whether or not, and he may not know himself whether he's running again, like, now is the time to make that case and show people how you can lead, especially with the overarching dissatisfaction with the big, brutal bill. I mean, that thing's polling in the toilets. It's a terrible bill that Republicans have boxed themselves into. Mitch McConnell, like, failure not an option. Just a stupid approach. Nobody's going to like that sucker. Put that yoke right around Republicans' neck in this state. Explain to people how they're not getting it done and how you have gotten it done. I don't get the lack of what I'm going to just call, blanketing, trying to blanket the media space and really reframe and contextualize the debate in terms that are favorable to the governor. And again, I think that would lever and really put the pressure on Devin Lemahue and Senate Republicans, who seem to be on not Earth One, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's for sure. They have not. They need to be able to learn how to count to 17, which they have not been able to do to get those 17 votes in the state
the
senate
integers,
to pass a budget.
Right?
Yes, that's right.
Dan, you've got young kids. How has your family grappled with childcare? Now, granted, we're in the Milwaukee land area, so there are lots of providers at versus other more rural areas. But how has that process been for your family, Dan?
Yeah, so I mean, I was a stay-at-home dad for quite some time, because it was a real challenge to find quality childcare to take care of my two girls. We eventually did find something that worked for us, but I think for families with young children, this is the issue that families with young children are talking about. And there's so much discussion nationwide about improving things for young families and wanting to make it more affordable for families, and want people to have kids and have families and raise their families here in the state of Wisconsin. I think the childcare issue is such a major one. And I think the childcare counts thing, we go back to it. This is, I think, something that so many people support. It was a pilot program that worked. and it should be funded to continue to work so people can, so they can keep costs down for parents. It can keep centers open, and it can get those providers who spend so much time with our kids paid.
Yeah, if I was Tony Evers, if you're listening, Mr. Governor, we appreciate you. We thank you. Here's the two issues: public school funding and child care. Do that. Get some movement on that, and you will win votes, if not for yourself, for Dems, and we will help retake the state Senate for Democrats in the next election cycle. Big thanks to you, my friend Dan Schaefer. Up next for today's edition of Broad Appeal, we've got Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway. We're going deep on the recent HAPs and her agenda priorities for the city of Madison. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, 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 and welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Every Wednesday at 4:30, we do a segment that we call Broad Appeal because I like to talk to all of the amazing broads, and I mean that with reverential love and respect, that are involved in politics, standing up for the middle class here in the state of Wisconsin. We've got one such fabulous broad. It is Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway of the city of Madison. Welcome to the program. So glad that you could make time for us.
Oh, thank you so much, Maggie. Really appreciate the time to be here, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to see you. Since we were just talking about the biennial budget with my colleague Dan Schaefer, I thought I would start there, see if you have any thoughts. I mean, My view is, and what I understand from folks in joint finance, is that where the governor has gotten at least Robin Voss and most Republicans in state government, the place that they're at in those negotiations is better than the budget that we've got now, which would potentially make a veto of the budget problematic, right? And we've got sort of these fringy MAGA state senators that want about the most draconian cuts and more tax cuts for the ultra wealthy and mega businesses here in the state, all kind of nonsensical. And the big sort of 8,000-pound gorilla in the room, of course, is that none of the MAGA regime here in the state are talking about the impacts to Wisconsinites by Donald Trump's big brutal bill on Capitol Hill. So my question to you, Mayor, is generally, what are your reflections on this moment and the upcoming biennial budget? And what do cities like yours, as well as smaller municipalities, what is your view? What are the potential impacts for our local jurisdictions, our munis across the state?
Yeah, it's a great question, and certainly a huge issue for our state right now. I mean, I guess I'd start with a couple of just really top line things. And I mean, first of all, to give credit where credit's due, the budget that the governor proposed was a really good budget.
Yes, it was.
Right. And, you know, I would have been happy with that. But of course, that's not how things go in the state legislature. But, you know, we at the local level, we don't really have the option to delay and disagree and, you know, threaten to like not even have a budget at all.
Yeah.
We have to balance our budget every year, and we're required to pass it by a certain time. And like, so, you know, at the local level, I think we're, dare I say, slightly more practical about these things. And I really do think that, you know, we don't get as caught up in the sort of partisan or ideological fussing that the state legislature can get caught up in sometimes. But I think, you know, all told, you raise a really good point. We do not know the full scope of the impacts of what the federal government is doing for the state. And when we at the city level look at the potential scope of impact of reduced funding from the federal government, it's very large, and we would not be able to make up all those services on our own, and we would certainly need help from the state. And I think it would really be prudent right now for state government to be thinking about what are those impacts, not just across their own agencies, which is large enough.
Right.
But also, what are the impacts across of all local government who has a much reduced capacity to take care of our folks if we're not getting federal funding? So that is a huge deal.
Yes.
That I don't see them talking about. And the other thing I would say is that, you know, over the past decade-ish, you know, one thing that has happened is that the state has taken a series of actions that has pushed costs off onto the property tax. So what I am saying to you is that the state legislature has forced higher property taxes.
Yes.
On people who live in Wisconsin. And that's unfair. We should have a balance in types of revenue between the property tax and income tax and sales tax and fees and fines. And that right now is not happening. So when I look at the budget and the budget deal that is sort of in the mix right now, I look to see, are they doing anything for municipalities?
Yeah.
Are they doing anything to give us some actual tax relief in the form of property tax relief by giving some of that revenue that they make in income tax and sales tax off of our communities back to the people that generate it?
Yes.
That's what I look for in the budget. And you know, so far, I don't see a whole lot.
Yeah, my brain is going in a million directions based upon what you just said. Having been through budget cycles at the city of Milwaukee years ago and nearly 8 years with Milwaukee County, I know I've seen that work up close, because much of the services provided in local government, this isn't about partisanship, right?
We serve everybody.
Yes, schools and parks and your local roads and the garbage pickup and the snow removal and the libraries. Like this, it is, I often tell people that local governments are the resource of last resort.
Yes.
And they're the resource of first impact, meaning the stuff that immediately impacts your life, that's local government. Like that is the touch point for the vast majority of us in terms of immediate impacts on our quality of life. And thank you so much for pointing out that, quote, shared revenue, that is this bizarro formula that the state arbitrarily cooks up every year to determine how much of a locality's revenues that are generated from a place like Madison or Wausau or Wisconsin Dells or mm-hmm. Sturgeon Bay, how much of their own taxes that they create through their residents and taxpayers goes back to those localities. The state has increasingly created mandates and not funded them.
Yeah.
And the shared revenue formula is so broken. And you compound that, and everybody can go to the Wisconsin Policy Forum website and look at their analyses of how screwed up our revenue system is, our taxation, fees, and fine structures. Most other states in the union allow local governments so much greater flexibility when it comes to revenue generation.
Right. We're so limited in how we can generate revenue. And but you said a really important thing, and that is the amount that comes back to our communities. And so for Madison alone, right, we get back of the money we send to the state government. Right. So of the income tax that our folks pay, of the sales tax that when you go and you buy something in the store, you pay that sales tax. Right. We get back 18 cents on the dollar. And that's not city government. That is the community of Madison.
Right.
That is the city and the county and the school district. So we are subsidizing the state government. Now, I don't mind giving them some, like, I don't mind, right? We
right.
need a state government. I like having state agencies do the work that they do. I'm really glad we have a housing authority. Like, I like WEDA. I like the DNR,
yep.
you know?
Yep.
But like we are generating economic activity for the state. We are the growing in population, and we need a little bit more than 18 cents on the dollar back.
And that, Madam Mayor, to me, this is the great looming specter over all of this, whether we're looking in the Beltway, you know, in Washington, D.C. and the big brutal belt, or we're looking here at our biennial budget, is a fundamental concept of fairness. Right.
Yeah.
And the distortion that is employed by some to twist facts 18 cents on the dollar for the whole metropolitan area of Madison is unfair. I think everybody can see that. It's worse when you look at the Milwaukee metropolitan area by a clip. I mean, Madison, Milwaukee, the big tourism centers in our state, the places where there are large manufacturers, these are the economic engines. And we have to, again, the local governments provide the infrastructure and the support and the resources for their residents that drive that economic activity that funds state government. We can do better. We need to do better. I wanted to talk, you mentioned housing, Madam Mayor, and you have championed Madison's housing first approach to combat homelessness. We know that stable housing and addressing housing insecurity unlocks all kinds of opportunities for people.
Yes, it does.
If you want to tell people to bootstrap themselves, well, that gets highly more likely if you've got a place to live. Tell us a little bit more about what you're doing in Madison.
You need a roof over your head. I mean, this is the thing. So listen, Madison, like many cities around the country, has, you know, for years and years and years, did not build enough homes to keep up with our population growth. And that puts you in a situation where, first of all, the competition for the existing homes is driving up the price. And the people who are suffering the most are the people who have the least. And so you're increasing, if you do not have a healthy housing market, you're increasing housing instability, you're increasing the risk of homelessness and actual homelessness, because people literally can't afford a place to live, right? They can't afford a home. Yeah. And so we're taking an across-the-board approach in Madison. And so yes, absolutely, we're doing work on homelessness, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But we are trying to catch up on the years and years where we weren't building enough homes. We are trying to catch up and build more homes. So we have a pretty ambitious goal of building about 15,000 homes by 2035. And part of that is so that we can create enough homes that are affordable for folks to get them into housing and out of homelessness. And that, it's a challenge. It's a big project, but we are using all sorts of different tools to make sure that we can just get more homes built for everybody.
Yeah, you know, so when supply is artificially low and we haven't planned, right, prices go up. That is the old Econ 101.
That's right.
I went to law school at Madison, loved it. I was recently in town chatting with some friends of mine and literally almost fell off my bar stool at Paul's Club when they told me how much they were paying in mortgage payments for the size of their home and another friend paying in rent. And, you know, you talk to folks in Green Bay, that's an issue. You talk to folks in Wisconsin Dells, that's an issue.
Yeah.
And the federal government has almost all but disappeared, right? There's money still coming from HUD, but actual new housing starts, it ain't coming from the – it wasn't before, and it certainly ain't happening in this administration. It's a real crisis. Tell me about some of the different resources that you're pulling together. And we've got about a minute.
Yeah, so we're working on zoning to we're working to make it easier to build things by right. So you can just get a building permit. And we're working on funding housing, and then we're working on improving our process so it is quicker to make housing in our community.
Zoning, get the permit, make it quicker, and get the funding, and you'll have some housing starts. We're going to continue this discussion with Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway in today's installment of Broad Appeal. What got her into politics? What keeps her in the fight? What feeds her energy? Because we all need it these days. We discuss next right here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. Happy Wednesday afternoon. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and I am your host, Maggie Dawn. In the 4:30 half hour, every Wednesday, we do a segment called Broad Appeal, where we talk to the amazing women and political leaders across the state of Wisconsin. We've got one such fabulous woman with us this afternoon. Her name is Mayor, Madam Mayor, Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison. So glad to have you with us. And I like to ask all women, whether they're activists, whether they are folks that owned childcare businesses that have found their way into the political forum, what got you into the political arena? Was this baked into your cake from a young age, or did you find your way to it?
Oh, I definitely found my way. I thought from a young age that I was going to be a botanist or an ecologist. All of my training is in science. So my undergrad and my master's. I didn't get to politics until I had moved to Madison, and then I had sort of two initial things that got me into it. And one was I actually got a job in policy, so working yes. on state level environment policy. And then I had a friend who ran for city council. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had no idea, like, there's a city council. What do they do?
I would assume you're in good company with many people.
Many people don't know much about local government. And but here's my friend, and she wants to do this thing. And so, of course, I'm going to help her. And so yes. I got involved with her campaign, and I met some people, and I worked on something. We didn't win that race. She didn't win. But then in the next cycle, I ended up running for city council, and I served for 6 years. At the same time, I was working increasingly with cities and mayors on city policy. And so that was how I got into it. I'm a policy wonk.
Yes.
And that's really where I come from, is wanting to make a difference in people's lives through the policies and programs that happen at the local government level.
I love this so much because, and this is a deep, deep compliment. You don't sound like a politician. And I'm so sick of politicians that sound like politicians. It's like, get off the script, set the talking points down. You don't need to do that. Speak from the heart, right? I think, you know, and I'm going to talk later in the show about, you know, the huge upset in the New York City mayor's race, right? Like, here's Zohran Mamdani coming out from way behind in the polls to defeat a family legacy of Dems, Andrew Cuomo in New York City. One of the things is he sounds like a regular person. Gasp. And Mayor, I wanted to give you the opportunity, you know, and you can take this question in one of two ways. Either speak directly to women and other folks out there who maybe didn't grow up in politics, living and breathing this stuff, and are thinking about dipping their toe into the pond about, you know, taking the plunge, using your voice to help activate change. Speak to folks out there, whether they want to themselves be an elected official mm-hmm. or want to get more involved, because I think our power is in the people in this moment.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and it always has been, really. We've just abdicated it. And,
yes.
And so, like, listen, a lot of people say, I don't like politics. I don't do politics. I'm not interested in politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. Well, politics is interested in you, right? And
I have a four-letter word saying, if you don't F with politics, politics will F with you. So
absolutely,
yes,
right? But if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Yes.
Right? So there are so many ways that you can make a difference in your community, and you don't have to think of it as politics, right? So, like community work, community building, this is all part of it, right? Yeah. So whether you are doing it through your neighborhood association or your congregation or your friend group or your, like, whatever nonprofit you're volunteering for, or whether you join a city committee, like, I appoint hundreds yes. of people, residents of Madison, to city committees to help us think about stuff, right? To help us do the work that we do, right? Or maybe you do want to run for office, or maybe it's not you that runs for office, or it's your friend that you're going to support them in running for office. And, like, there are so many ways to get into it. And it's really about caring about your community and finding a way to make a difference and finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other,
yeah.
right? About what is important in our place, in our community, in our neighborhood, and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
It's such an important reminder to us all, because I think as gerrymandering got out of hand, right, and as money in politics has had now a goodly 50 years of corrupting influence in our country dating back to Buckley v. Vallejo in 1976, this is why people feel,
yeah,
like what does it matter?
We got to take it back.
Correct.
Right? And that's why the local level is so important, because it does touch your daily life every day, and your voice can make a difference at the local level. I have seen votes switched by a handful of people coming to a city council meeting.
100%. And it is, again, I said this previously, local government is often the resource of last resort, but it is also the resource of first impact in your life. I guarantee you show up at a few meetings, you get to know your alderpersons, your common council members, your mayors,
and
you will have an impact.
And I'll tell you, Maggie, people think that they're not qualified to be in government. Everybody has lived experience that qualifies them to be in government. So don't let anybody tell you you're not.
You've got the Maggie Dawns and the Satya Rhodes Conways that are the policy wonks to help you bring your values into fruition. Thank you so much, Madam Mayor. It is a real genuine pleasure. Can't wait to do this again. Folks, you're not going to want to go anywhere. When we come back, we talk to two childcare providers about the funding crisis that's about to drop in 5 days in Wisconsin. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.